Jeffrey had a reputation for being a tiger in the courtroom. He took on huge corporations single-handed in environmental contamination cases and always brought them to their knees. He was a highly feared adversary, but he felt extremely awkward and insecure in almost every other situation. His secretary, wife, and daughters constantly bossed him around. He worried that they'd reject him and meekly gave in to their demands. I suggested we try the what-if technique. This technique can help you identify the beliefs and fantasies that trigger your fears. We started with Jeffrey's thought, it would be terrible if I lost a case in court. Our dialogue went like this. David, Jeffrey, let's suppose you did lose a case in court. What would happen then? What are you the most afraid of? Jeffrey, then the word would spread and people would find out about me. David, and what if people did find out about you? What's the worst thing that could happen? Jeffrey, people would realize I'm not as good as they thought and stop sending me cases. David, okay, what would happen then? Jeffrey, I might go bankrupt. David, of course, no one wants to go bankrupt, but I'd like to know what it would mean to you to go bankrupt. What would happen then? What are you the most afraid of? Jeffrey, then my wife and daughters would stop loving me. David, and then? Jeffrey, then they'd leave me. I'd be penniless and alone. David, and then what would happen? What's your deepest fear? What do you imagine? Jeffrey, I'd end up as a homeless man living on the streets of Los Angeles. Jeffrey imagined himself sitting on the sidewalk, begging for spare change as a group of attorneys he'd beaten in court walk by in their $2,000 suits. They look at him scornfully and say, well, if it isn't the great Jeffrey, look at how pathetic he is now. What a loser. Intellectually, Jeffrey knew that these fears were irrational, but emotionally, he felt like the danger was real. He believed that people really would look down on him and abandon him if he failed. Jeffrey starts with the thought, it would be terrible if I lost a case in court, and ends up with the belief that he'll be homeless, alone, and miserable. What does this fantasy tell you about his self-defeating beliefs? Here are the self-defeating beliefs that Jeffrey and I identified. Performance perfectionism. Jeffrey believes that he must never fail or make a mistake. Perceived perfectionism. He believes that other people will judge him as harshly as he judges himself, and thinks that he has to impress everyone with his accomplishments or else they'll reject him. Achievement addiction. Jeffrey bases his sense of self-worth on his achievements. He thinks that his accomplishments have to be great, or else they're no good at all. Approval addiction. He bases his self-esteem on getting everyone's approval. Fear of rejection. Jeffrey believes that he'll be doomed to a life of destitution and misery if even a single person rejects him. Pleasing others. Jeffrey believes that he always has to give in to the demands of his colleagues and family, even at the expense of his own needs and feelings. Worthlessness, inferiority. Jeffrey seems convinced that he's inherently flawed and defective, so he always tries to cover up and pretend that he's much better than he really is. Perceived narcissism. Jeffrey believes that all the people he cares about are extremely manipulative and demanding. Brushfire fallacy. Jeffrey's convinced that if one person looks down on him, the word will spread, and pretty soon, everyone will look down on him and abandon him. You can see that in spite of all his accomplishments, Jeffrey doesn't think much of himself. He thinks he's bad and unlovable inside. At the same time, he doesn't seem to think much of his family or colleagues either. His world, as he imagines it, is filled with judgmental and demanding people who will turn against him if he displays the slightest flaw. It's no wonder he feels so anxious. While he was working with me, Jeffrey actually lost a case in court. It was only the second loss of his entire career. This presented us with a golden opportunity. I asked Jeffrey if he'd be willing to try an experiment to test his belief that everyone would turn against him if he failed. At the time, he was president of the California Bar Association. I suggested he could bring an index card to the next Bar Association meeting and keep it in his coat pocket. Then he could tell 10 high-powered colleagues that he'd just lost a case in court. After each conversation, he could put a tick mark on the card to indicate whether the attorney reacted in a positive, negative, or neutral way. Jeffrey was extremely reluctant to do this. The idea made him intensely anxious. But he finally consented, because he'd suffered for so many years and was desperate enough to try almost anything. Jeffrey was shocked by the results of his experiment. He forced himself to tell 10 attorneys that he'd lost a case in court. When I saw him the next week, he told me that 5 of them didn't even seem to have heard what he said. Instead, they just went on talking about themselves with great enthusiasm. This was a relief. Jeffrey said he'd greatly magnified his own importance in the eyes of other people and minimized how narcissistic and self-centered most attorneys were. He said that it was liberating to find out how unimportant he really was. The reactions of the other 5 attorneys surprised him even more. They did not turn against him, as he expected, but poured their hearts out to him. They said it was a relief to hear that even Jeffrey lost a case from time to time. They told him about all the cases they'd lost recently and described their marital conflicts and problems with their children. Jeffrey said he felt close to his colleagues for the first time. He said that he finally felt like he actually had something to give to other people. Jeffrey always tried to keep his weaknesses and vulnerabilities hidden because he thought they were so shameful. But in spite of all his wealth, power, and success, Jeffrey had never really gotten close to people or discovered any inner peace or happiness. In contrast, his human, vulnerable side turned out to be his greatest asset. I call this the acceptance paradox. Although it's a cognitive therapy technique, it's also central to most spiritual traditions. For example, St. Paul was an early pillar of the Christian church. He suffered from a thorn in the flesh. Biblical scholars don't know what this weakness was. Some have speculated that it might have been bipolar, manic depressive illness, sexual confusion, or stuttering. In desperation, St. Paul prayed to God to remove this thorn, but God ignored his prayers. Finally, the Holy Spirit came to St. Paul and said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for in your weakness, my strength is revealed more completely." Jeffrey said he'd always heard of this teaching when he was growing up, but it had never made any sense to him. He said the idea that your weakness was your strength had always seemed absurd, and he'd never believed it. But now, suddenly, he comprehended what the passage really meant. He could see that his weakness actually was his greatest strength, and his strength had been his greatest weakness all along. That's because the strength he'd always tried to project, the spit and polish, the fancy clothes, the incredible courtroom victories, had never really brought him any peace of mind. His weakness, the feelings of anxiety and self-doubt that he'd always tried to hide, allowed him to connect with other people for the first time.